Please pray with me. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your world, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 33, verses 5 through 6. The Lord is exalted. He dwells on high. He filled Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the stability of your times, abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. And the second scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If what has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but only as through fire.
The third reading from the scriptures is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood arose, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning's scriptures from the gospel includes a well-known parable found only in Matthew and Luke. To understand Jesus' choice of illustrative metaphors, we must understand that in Palestine, 2,000 years ago, the people were very familiar with Palestine's climate. There were very few rainfalls all year, but during the rainy seasons, heavy rains and excessive floods could and did wash away poorly grounded structures. That was something with which they were very familiar. And remember that Jesus' reference to a home built on a solid rock foundation, as opposed to one built on sand, came near the end of his famous and extended Sermon on the Mount, which included the Beatitudes. Jesus was trying to tell the people that those who listened to him could be divided into two classes, one of which listened hard, heard what Jesus said, worked to understand it, and used Jesus' lessons to organize and to live their lives. They were building on a sound foundation. The others, unfortunately many and perhaps most of the others, listened hard, they heard, and they may have intended to follow Jesus' teachings, but they were easily lured away by the things of the world, which they unthinkingly valued more highly. Their faith, such as it was shallow, not something they worked to comprehend, not something they prayed about. Their lives and such shallow foundations that they had built based on Jesus' teachings were then, when troubled times came, destroyed. In 1174, the Italian architect Bonero Pisano, would you guess that he might be an Italian? Bonero Pisano began work on what would have become his most famous project. It was a separate standing bell tower for the cathedral in the city of Pisa. There was just one problem. The soil was much softer than they had anticipated, and the foundation was far too shallow. Before long, the whole structure began to tilt, and then it tilted some more, and it tilted some more. After a while, the architect and the builders realized there was nothing that could be done to keep the Leaning Tower of Pisa from leaning. What is the foundation for your life? If it isn't God, chances are you are or soon will be tilting one way or the other. Isaiah in chapter 33 said, "He, God, will be your sure foundation, providing a rich store of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge." The word storm, as we currently use it, has several meanings, one of which is any strong disturbance. Another is a sudden strong attack on a fortified place. Uses a verb, the word storm can mean something like attacking vigorously. The storms we all encounter in life would include loss of a loved one, sicknesses, physical infirmities, the loss of significant possessions, loss of a job, unintentionally having seriously harmed others, perhaps those we love, the loss of someone's trust, the loss of someone that we had counted on to be there for us. There are many such storms, and they will test the faith foundation upon which our lives are based. One commentator has noted that our character as Christians is revealed by the fruit of our lives, but the depth of our faith is revealed by the storms in our lives. The person of solid faith, who had sought both to build and act on God's word, will have built a life which will withstand the storms of life. And that's what Jesus was teaching. There are two ways to destine a building to demolition or to destruction. One is to provide an inadequate foundation in the circumstances, and the other is to build with inferior materials. If we apply the building analogy to our faith, we must both base our faith on the solid foundation provided by faith in Jesus Christ, and we must use what Christ taught us to provide the material with which we structure our lives. A short man wanted to drive a nail into the wall to hang a picture. He stood on a chair, but he wasn't tall enough. His wife placed a box on the chair, and he climbed up on the box, but he still wasn't tall enough. His wife then put a stool on top of the box on top of the chair, and he climbed up on the box and on top of the stool and stood there, balancing himself precariously. The do-it-yourself picture hanger began to tap very timidly on the nail with his hammer. His wife, always willing to help, said, "Why don't you hit it harder? You'll never drive a nail in the wall that way." And our hero looked down from his perch to reply, "How can a man hit anything hard standing on such a shaky foundation?" We cannot live a meaningful Christian life without a solid Christian foundation. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the church in Corinth, said this, and he used the architectural metaphor as follows. "By the grace God has given me, I lay the foundation as an expert builder, and someone else will build on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Paul asserted that the quality of each person's work, the unseen foundation for, and the materials used to build our lives will be revealed when things seem to have gone wrong. Durable foundations and durable building materials symbolic of pure Christian doctrine and living, will stand the test. To paraphrase Martin Luther King, the ultimate measure is not where a person stands in moments of comfort, but where a person stands in moments of challenge and controversy. This does not suggest that the storms of life will not be experienced by persons of Christian faith. It doesn't suggest that these storms will be moderated by God. Remember, Jesus did calm the Sea of Galilee when he and his apostles were being storm-tossed about in a boat. Remember that? Such miracles are certainly within God's power. But this doesn't mean that we will not have to suffer in such storms. Remember Jesus Christ, God himself, suffered horribly on earth. I believe, however, that God will help us weather the storms in our lives, the suffering in our lives, through our faith in and our following with our Lord Jesus Christ. We can establish a firm foundation for our lives, which will enable us to withstand the worst storms. We've all seen it happen. Those without a firm foundation of faith, when the storms come, find that their lives collapse about them, as would have a building facing a storm without a solid foundation. Jesus' metaphor highlights an unassailable fact of life. If we stay with the foundation analogy just a little longer, we must acknowledge several other metaphoric truths. It takes a solid belief in the necessity for someone to devote serious time and effort to build something that, when finished, no one will ever see. If a person doesn't think it's really necessary or important to devote such considerable time and effort to build something that will be buried and never again uncovered, with many people it simply won't get done. And so it is with a Christian faith foundation. We will all live our lives regardless of the unseen foundation upon which we have built our lives, the basis for how we act or don't act, for our aspirations, for our fears, for our dreams. To build a solid Christian foundation, it takes first a belief that, although unseen, it is necessary, fundamental, if one wishes to live a Christian life. Second, it takes planning, sacrifice, and hard work. One must study to try to understand the scriptures. One must read others who have read the scriptures and are attempting to explain, to help us understand them, and one must pray often. We must work to construct a solid personal basis for our faith. In doing this, we're all beginners, so we must proceed cautiously and as best we can follow the directions we find in the Word of God. And unlike the foundation for a building, the foundation for our lives is in need of constant repair, of improving as it undergoes the stresses and storms of life, and that requires our constant attention and work to the foundation on which we build our lives. And with what do we build our lives on the solid Christian foundation? One is reminded of the childhood story of the three little pigs who built houses to live in, one easily and quickly built of straw, the second built of sticks, and the third one tediously built of solid brick. Remember that story? The storm winds in the story came from a wicked wolf who blew down the first two houses, and they fell when they were needed most. All those in the carefully built brick home, on the other hand, lived in secure peace. We must build our homes, a lifelong effort with carefully selected, totally true, tested, and reliable rules and commands which we have studied and have confidence in. And remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is the keystone of the structure of the lives we build. The keystone is the stone at the top of the arch, without which the entire structure could not have been built. And after built, the keystone, if removed, would leave the entire structure to collapse. Jesus Christ is the keystone of the foundation and building on the foundation which we call our lives. And having or even knowing, even understanding these building blocks for our Christian lives is not enough. We have to know how and when to use them. A student once purchased a new mechanical pencil, and he was very proud of his new mechanical pencil. After some time, he found himself in the middle of an important test, and his pencil ran out of lead. There was a great deal of frustration and anguish as he wasted precious time running around to other students trying to borrow another pencil with which to finish the exam. Later, the student found out that his new pencil was designed with a complete supply of extra lead inside that could be dispensed only by pressing the button twice. Sometimes Christians are like this student. Although we all have all the building blocks for our Christian lives available to us, because we've not taken the time to know how they work, we do not draw and use them when we need to. It must be based on knowledge to be exercised, to be made a part of our life's foundation and structure. One commentator notes that each of us has one house to build with our lives, and this ought to be our constant concern. Many do not have such a concern. This is the furthest thing from their thoughts. They are building for this world as if they would be here always and give little thought to the life to come. Many build their hopes on the worldly prosperity, perhaps believing this is a sign of God's favor. When the prosperity is lost, or when, because of health or loss of a loved one, prosperity simply no longer matters, their lives succumb to the storm. They collapse. The house that fails in the storm will fail when its occupant needs it most and expected that it would provide shelter. Let's think a little bit more about the storms of life. Another metaphor involving storms involves the sea and is, I think, illustrative. There are times for most of us, no matter how carefully we build our lives on a firm Christian foundation, when in what we thought was a safe harbor anchorage, the storms of life nevertheless come in and they catch us. When the storm comes, we put out our anchors. If the anchors hold, we'll weather the storm safely, but if not, the storm and the winds and waves will drive us toward the rocks and to shipwreck. Critical in these times is how we set our anchors. If set in a loose sandy bottom or one covered with slippery eelgrass, the anchor will not hold and the storm will destroy us. But if the anchors are set in the solid harbor bottom, they will hold us off the rocks, from being driven to the rocks and to destruction. In Hebrews 6, we read, quoting, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." Hope as an anchor for our soul. Like an anchor holding a ship steady in position, our hope in Christ will assure the safety of our soul. Jeremy Taylor said, "Faith is the Christian's foundation. Hope is his anchor. Death is his harbor. Christ is his pilot. And heaven is his country." So the storms of life will come to each of us for some many times, even if we build the foundations of our spiritual faith homes on Christ. We will suffer serious losses, pain, sometimes physical damage, and eventually death. But when the storms end, and they inevitably will, our faith, our hope, our souls will still be intact, probably having become even stronger. The storms will rage, but we, because of our hope and faith, will be at peace. They can break, even kill our bodies, but they cannot kill our souls, secure in the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. He promised that we who build and live our lives on solid faith in our Lord and follow his teaching can rely on him to give us peace. Our Lord said, quoting, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Remember how we sang a few moments ago, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Billy Graham, I think, helps us understand how faith will enable us to weather storms. And I quote Billy Graham. "The storm was raging. The sea was beating against the rocks in huge, dashing waves. The lightning was flashing. The thunder was roaring. The wind was blowing. But the little bird was sound asleep in a crevice in the rock, its little head tucked serenely under its wing." That is peace, Billy said, to be able to sleep in the storm. Billy continued, "In Christ we are relaxed and at peace in the midst of the confusions, bewilderments, and perplexities of life. The storm rages, but our hearts are at rest. We have found peace at last." Billy Graham, 1918 to 2018, almost 100 years. Life is rarely easy for long. Our Lord didn't promise this. His short life on earth was far from easy. We have to always remember we are passing through life here but for a short time as pilgrims heading for our eternal home with our living God. How to keep this in mind? The God-inspired book of Deuteronomy tells us in chapter 6, just after the Ten Commandments were listed in chapter 5, how to keep these things in our minds so as not to forget them. Quoting, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you sit down and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your heads and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates." But life is often not easy. It will take constant effort, hard work, to live as we have been directed by our Lord. The poet Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "The wise man in a storm prays, he prays to God, not for safety from danger, but for deliverance from fear. It is the storm within which endangers him, not the storm without." The storms in our lives are always looming, sometimes seem never ending. Perhaps an old cliche is fitting. Always, always, always keep the faith. I'll close with an observation from George MacDonald. "In life, troubles will come which seem as if they never will pass away. The night and the storm look as if they would last forever. But the calm and morning cannot be stayed. The storm in its very nature is transient. The effort of nature, as that of the human heart, ever is to return to its repose."